You may be seated. Hey, I want us to open up our Bibles. There are Bibles in the pew or smartphones. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 3. And if you are looking in the pew Bible, you can find it on page 864. John chapter 4, verse 3. Before we read the scripture, we've been in a series these past three chapels, and we have been exposing the lies that college students buy into. Lies like being good is good enough, or the lie that life is fair, or the lie of perfectionism. This morning, I want us to expose and confront the lie that our broken past defines who we are. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. I want us to expose and confront the lie that our broken past defines who we are. This morning, I've asked Senior Treshawn Gonzalez from El Mirage, Arizona. What a cool place to read the scripture with me today. And we're going to be starting again in verse 3 of John chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans."
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him,
"I have no husband."
Jesus said, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Dropping down to verse 27 now. Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want, or why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left the water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Dropping down to verse 39, many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Thanks be to God for his word." Thank you, Treshawn, for reading. Wow, what a story, huh? You want to talk about a woman with a broken past that not only defined her, but was controlling her. If you look in verses 6 and 7 of the text that we just heard today, this woman comes to the well to draw water around noontime, the text says. Now, that doesn't mean much to us. That doesn't seem to be a big deal. But to the ancient listener, that would have set off a signal. Why? Because you don't go and draw water in the ancient Middle East at noontime. It's one of the hottest times of the day. People would go and draw water early in the morning or late in the evening, but never at noon. This woman is being very intentional to draw water at noon because she's pretty confident that no one else is going to be at the well. And she doesn't want anyone to be at the well. She does not need to see the looks or the whispers of others reinforcing who she and others already believe her to be. So she is surprised not only to see Jesus sitting by the well, but that he, a Jewish man, is even willing to talk to her. And when you have a broken past like she has, you will do anything you can to talk about anything else but yourself with others. You'll talk about the weather, you'll talk about sports, you'll talk about politics, you'll talk about religion, anything but yourself, because if the focus is put on you, your broken past just might be exposed, right? And that's exactly what happens to this young woman with Jesus. But in being exposed, it now allows her the opportunity to confess her brokenness to Jesus. And she is shocked with Jesus' response to her brokenness because it is a response of loving conviction rather than damning condemnation. There's a big difference between those two, a huge difference between condemnation and conviction. You see, the devil and our world condemns us with the purpose of burying us in such shame that all we want to do is run and hide from God. Whereas Jesus, when he convicts us of our sin, it's always with the purpose to set us free so that we will want to run towards the loving arms of God. Condemnation makes us a slave to our past brokenness, whereas conviction extends to us an invitation to be set free from our past brokenness, which was true as Mary. That's not a real name, but for the purpose of confidentiality, that is how I will identify her. Mary graduated from Hope College some 15 plus years ago, and I was fortunate to get to know Mary during her first 2 years at Hope College. And it was during that time that Mary shared her story with me. Mary grew up in a home where her family attended church regularly. That was the case until there was obvious tensions between her mom and dad. And during Mary's elementary years, she can only remember the constant fighting between her parents until her mom finally filed for divorce when Mary was beginning junior high school. When the divorce was finalized, she did not see much of her father anymore, and the void of her father's presence and his attention led her to gain the attention of boys by becoming sexually active. And the sexual promiscuity continued into high school and into her early years at Hope College. And during the whole time, Mary continued to hold on to her faith in God in spite of dealing with significant depression, bouts of depression, and overwhelming shame. However, during her sophomore year at Hope, it was obvious that Mary was more and more open to allow God to do that deep soul work in her life, to the point of putting physical boundaries on her relationship with her then boyfriend and now husband. God's loving conviction of her broken past was leading Mary to a path of forgiveness and healing and freedom. But the devil's lie that your broken past defines who you are did not dissolve easily with Mary. Her sexual past haunted her even after years of marriage and bearing 4 children. That was until she had a dream just a few years ago. In the dream, she was at her high school reunion, and the people of her high school class were going around telling each other what has happened in their lives since graduating. When it was Mary's turn, she told her classmates that she had become a new person in Christ since leaving high school, at which point a young man who she was sexually active with in high school stood up and told her that she is still the same whore she was in high school. And in the dream, Mary turns to this young man and looks him straight in the eye and says, "By the blood of Jesus, he has cleansed me from all my sin." Immediately, Mary woke up from her dream. And she told me that for the first time in her life, the dark and heavy veil of condemnation from her broken sexual past that she had worn for so many years was gone. You see, Jesus uses our broken past as an invitation into a life of freedom and joyful vulnerability. And what happened to Mary seems to happen to the woman in our text this morning. Twice the text highlights the woman testimony of Jesus saying, "He told me everything I have ever done." Or as the Message Bible translation puts it, and I like this, "He knew all about the things I did. He knows me inside and out." There is no shame and condemnation in that testimony, only freedom and joy, which is what the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians said, this is what Jesus came to do. Freedom, for freedom, Christ has set us free. So here's the question. What past brokenness is sucking you dry right now? What past brokenness is holding you captive, kicking your butt over and over again? I want us to look, whatever that brokenness is this morning, right in the eye like our sister Mary did, and say, "By the blood of Jesus, he has cleansed me from all my sin." I want you to do that right now. I want you just right now, whatever that brokenness is, just quietly look that sucker in the eye and say, "By the blood of Jesus, he has cleansed me from all my sin." I want us just to be still for a moment and let that truth sink in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.